This day, among the many other feasts that there are, and there are many, we celebrate the feast of one that is a very favorite saint and has been almost since the time of his death, Saint Aloysius Gonzaga. Now, Aloysius in Latin means either Louis, in Italian is Luigi, in Spanish, Luis, but it's the one name, Aloysius. Of course, Latin is the language of the church. Gonzaga, his father was a marquis of Ferrante and Stiviere, and was one of the most powerful and wealthiest men in the empire. Of course, I speak of the Holy Roman Empire in the 16th century. His mother was a Medici, and he had several uncles who were popes and cardinals. And so the whole world was open to him. But as a little child, as a little boy, and he had to be baptized on the day he was born, that's something that I share with him, if nothing else. He was dying, I was dying, so both of us were baptized on the same day we were born. And the writers of his biographies say that he was born to heaven rather than to earth, for he began his life of grace almost as soon as his life on earth. When he was 10 years old, he must have been with his mother visiting one of the Medicis of Florence. He went to the shrine of Our Lady there, in front of the altar of Our Lady, whom he regarded as his mother, even though he loved his earthly mother and honored her tremendously. His letters to her are a testament to that. When he was 10 years old, at the foot of the altar of Our Lady in the cathedral in Florence, he gave himself totally to God through her and vowed perpetual virginity, which, of course, as the first reading testifies, he who could have sinned did not sin, who could have transgressed has not transgressed. In fact, everyone who knew him felt that he was almost like an angel among men. And the collect of today's Mass bespeaks this, because it asks God to grant us that if we cannot follow St. Aloysius in the innocence of his life, that we may follow him in the penance of his life. And penance, indeed, he performed. When he was a little bit older, he obtained permission finally from his father and handed over all the inheritance to his brother, the second born in the family. And then he entered the Society of Jesus and was in the seminary in Rome, where he had the friendship of many of the great Jesuits, including among them St. Robert Bellarmine, who was his spiritual director for a time. And he did everything he was supposed to do. Like I said, he was thought of as an angel living among men. And when he was just turning 24, there was a plague in Rome, and he was taking care of the sick, and he contracted the plague, and he died on this day in 1591. And the church has regarded him as a great saint of innocence, of purity, and of charity. But his love was among, first of all, our Lord Jesus Christ, especially in the Eucharist, before whom he spent countless hours of prayer. Even though he was innocent, he performed a lot of acts of penitence, including the whip, which was at that time one of the more important ways of penance, and also the hair shirts, which are atrocious to wear. But he did it not necessarily for himself, though he considered himself a great sinner, but for others who did not repent. And then, of course, the Blessed Mother. The Blessed Mother, these three things are sine qua non, they're necessary for the spiritual life of anyone who considers himself or herself a Catholic, a practicing Catholic. First of all, God, and then God in the Eucharist, and then Our Lady, the Mother of the second person of the Trinity, Jesus Christ. May he and all the angels and saints in heaven intercede for us, and especially we pray for all those who are being ordained today, and all those who wish and aspire to the very holy calling of the priesthood. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.